Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates. Follow us on Twitter if you don't already. We're at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Kyle, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Just had some lunch. Had a great lunch, actually. I did some breakfast food, and I don't think you can ever go wrong doing some breakfast food for other meals outside of breakfast. I feel like it's a win.
So, like, what kind of breakfast food are we talking about? Because most breakfast food is not that exciting.
What are you talking about, Bobby? What? All breakfast food is good.
Yeah, I did some waffles, eggs, and sausage.
Yeah, eggs and sausage is where it's at, man. Like, that's something I go to. I do that for dinner a lot of times. Like, my wife would work nights. Jonathan and I, we legitimately, I would make us eggs and sausage, and that's what we would eat for dinner. I love that. But, Yates, I'm a little disappointed.
Fine.
So, Bobby, you don't know this yet, but Yates reached out to me earlier and said, I am so disappointed in Bobby right now. And I told him, you need to bring it up at the beginning of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and push it back to Yates and say, Yates, how are you doing today?
Oh, I just got called out. Okay, Bob. Well, okay, let me rephrase here. I was doing fine, Bobby. Thank you for asking. Until I listened to your guys' pod with Joe Pisapia earlier, which Joe is a fantastic guest, by the way.
Awesome.
And you were talking up Ryan Tannehill. Man, I do not get it. I do not get it, Bobby. I don't get why you are so in love with Ryan Tannehill this year. I'm on Tags' side there with Joe Burrow.
I've got like 20 reasons, but I'll just give you one, okay? He just had one of the five most efficient quarterback seasons of all time in NFL history for a quarterback with at least 10 games started.
You know who else is up there? Nick Foles.
Yeah, Nick Foles is up there, man. That's pretty scary, isn't it? But you know what? Here's what it comes down to. I already ran the poll on Twitter to see who everyone agreed with, and guess what? I won the poll, which means I won the bet, sucker.
You did not win the bet. The game still had to be played, but
no,
Bobby,
man, it's public opinion.
You
won.
You are someone that always brings up regression and the fact that like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and all these guys, and then you bring up Ryan Tannehill's like 9.5 yards per attempt and like 9 touchdown percentage, and you're just like, oh, he's a breakout candidate. He already had what
and did it on only like 252 pass attempts, 286.
Right.
Excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm expecting regression. And even if he regresses 25%, the dude's still a QB1.
I'm not even going to say, I'm not going to go there. If he regresses 25%, I mean, yes, his touchdown rate would still be sky high. His yards per attempt would be in line. I think that would be about right, but I don't see him throwing the ball 500 times.
And
he's not
going to
rush for
too.
More than like 250 yards maybe. So
what?
I like Tannehill as a player.
He rushed for 190 yards last year in 10 starts. Four
he's
touchdowns.
Also he's getting older.
Okay. Yeah.
They start losing that, man.
Regardless, I won the poll, and you are going to lose the bet.
All right, I guess we'll see. Yates, who are you taking in that bet, by the way?
Oh, Burrow, 100%. Yeah, I said Burrow.
All right, well, I'm going to beat you guys in today's podcast. What are we talking about?
Oh man, we're all going to be giving our top five bounce back candidates. And this is one of those shows where we kind of went outside of our norm. We usually walk into the show, we don't give each other the notes, but instead of this, we wanted this one for us to each have five bounce back candidates, guys that maybe were let down last year, are going to come back. And we wanted to have five individualized ones. So we're going to share the opinion on some of these guys. And, but we each have five. So there's actually 15 players we're going to talk about today.
Well, last show, every single one of us picked Calvin Ridley and every single one of us picked AJ Green. I don't know, like on shows like this, I think sometimes you have to, you know, have 15 guys that we're going to talk about. And so we each have five, and Yates was like, dude, those were all the guys I was going to pick. yeah. So we're going to cover 15 guys that we think could bounce back. Before we do, though, did you guys know we have a YouTube channel? In fact, you can watch the podcast. You can see our honky faces at youtube.com/fantasypros. And it's not just the podcast that we've got going on there. All kinds of videos that go up every single week as well. Hit that subscribe button. You guys are definitely going to get some bonus content that you love and is going to help you win your fantasy leagues. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. And by the way, while you're subscribing to YouTube, make sure to check us out on Instagram as well. We're over there posting other fantasy football content at fantasypros, at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Kyle Y NFL, and tags is at his name, Mike Tagliere. Guys, there's a lot of stuff going on over on Instagram in the sports world, and we are definitely part of it. Again, at Fantasy Pros is our main account. All right, you guys ready to roll? Who wants to go first?
I'll let Yates go first.
All right.
Wow, Tags, that's nice of you. I thought you were going to play, dude. You always do.
That's so nice of you. Yeah.
We're going to start from number five with Yates.
Yes. Yeah, we're going 5-1 here. So we'll do a little countdown. I'm going to start here with just mentioning Robert Woods. Robert Woods is my number five player here. And he comes with a caveat, right? Like Robert Woods finished last season as a wide receiver 17, I think. He was in that range. So he finished the season really, really well. But I wanted to bring him up in this conversation to mention, like, some people may have a bad taste in their mouth with owning Robert Woods last year in fantasy football. He only finished with two receiving touchdowns all last season. And so I am expecting positive regression to happen this year. And so if that does happen, where Robert Woods can easily outscore two receiving touchdowns, right? Like he finished with great yardage last year, great reception totals. If that bumps up slightly, he's easily in the top 15, top 10 wide receiver conversation. He exploded after the bye week last year when they altered their offensive philosophy. He's a guy who I really, really like. We've talked about him on the pod here before, so I don't want to spend a ton of time, but I did want to at least make sure that we mentioned him in the bounce back candidates conversation. So that way people who are still kind of remembering him from early last season, they can start to remember what he was like last year at the end of the year. And I think that's what we're going to see in 2020.
Tags, I like Robert Woods. I don't mind where he's being drafted. I'm probably not going to have many shares just because I would rather take AJ Green. We've already talked about this a lot, so I won't go into detail on AJ Green. But does it concern you that Cooper Kupp might bounce back to where he was in the first half last year? Because going into their bye, he was the number two fantasy football wide receiver. Was he just playing hurt in the second half, or what happened there? Is there a chance that Woods takes a step back again?
I don't believe so. I think Woods was fine last year. And I think if you get exactly what you did out of him last year with a couple more touchdowns, people are going to be happy drafting him as a wide receiver too.
Heck yeah, man. He'd be a wide receiver one if he had a few more touchdowns. He was wide receiver 17 last year without the touchdowns.
Well, right. But I've kind of spoken on the fact that last year was really a down year for wide receivers as a whole. And if you look at the position, I do anticipate it taking a step back forward and running backs taking a little step backward in 2020. But looking at ADP, it's a massive gap between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Like Cooper Kupp is going as the wide receiver 13 right now. And then Woods isn't going to wide receiver 23. That's way too big of a gap. I have them actually right next to each other right now. And Woods has been reliable. He's been a guy that's consistently here. And the latest sample that we have is Robert Woods was the better fantasy wide receiver. Cooper Kupp was the wide receiver 44, basically after their bye week is what it was. And if we're expecting Tyler Higbee to be a top tier tight end, that means we need to bake that into Cooper Kupp's production, because they're that target over the middle of the field, the offense kind of took off over the second half of the year. Now, granted, the Rams offense, they took off over the final five, 6 weeks of the year, and it's a lot of it had to do with competition, right? They played the Cardinals a couple times. There were some cake matchups in there that made Jared Goff look better. So I'm not like particularly excited, but Robert Woods has always been a consistent factor. He's not a guy that's going to win you your fantasy league, but I do believe he's a guy that you can draft as a wide receiver too in like the fifth round, sixth round in some of these drafts. And he's going to give you that wide receiver to your production. So I think he is back, especially when you consider where he's being drafted among public right now.
Tags, why don't you give us your number five, man?
My number five is AJ Green. We've obviously talked about him quite a bit on the show. And, you know, Jason Moore came on the show, and you always have time to reflect on what you talked about. And he brought up the fact that he's going to be 32 years old. You know, this is when these big wide receivers break down. I don't consider AJ Green to be an Andre Johnson, a Dez Bryant type receiver. He's a long, lanky wide receiver that's a route runner. He doesn't make yards after the catch. He doesn't take very many big hits. I don't think it's fair to compare him to those guys. You know, Larry Fitzgerald's 37 years old, still playing in the NFL. AJ Green obviously has dealt with a lot more injuries, but there's never been a season where AJ Green has averaged fewer than 7.7 targets per game. Extrapolating that over 16 games, that's 123 targets. And if Joe Burrow is going to be, you know, the superstar that we all kind of think that he's going to be outside of Bobby.
Oh, I love Joe Burrow, man. I totally agree that he's great. I just like Ryan Tannehill more.
I just don't know why people are fading AJ Green so much. So I'm anticipating a bounce back season for him. I don't even if he's just a low end wide receiver too, that's a bounce back season. It's a reminder that this is AJ Green. It's only going to be his 10th season in the NFL. It's not like it's his 16th season and he's on his retirement tour. He's playing for a contract right now. He's under a 1-year deal and he's going to be gone. Cincinnati's not going to retain him in 2021. So AJ Green is definitely on my bounce back candidate.
Yeah, you're with us on AJ Green. Is that right?
Nope, I'm against
you. Oh, you're not. You're not going to have any shares, okay?
Nope. I have AJ Green at wide receiver 36.
And oh, man!
It is primarily because, like, the things that Tags mentioned of, like, and I'm not debating AJ Green's talent. Like, I think he's one of the most talented wide receivers as far as, like, what he can do with the ball in the air, reeling it in. He's just been a great wide receiver. However, we're talking about a guy who's coming off not playing at all last year. And the last time that we saw him, he was injury riddled, right? So maybe a full year off, like he got his body right. Like it's kind of the Rob Gronkowski conversation, right? Like a full year off may have helped him. But Tags mentioned like he averaged, what was it, Tags, 7.7 targets per game?
Never less than that.
Never less than that. Okay, the wide receivers that he was playing with, like Brandon LaFell was his main competition several years ago.
He had Mohamed Sanu,
Marvin Jones. So I'll give you that year. But like Brandon LaFell, is Brandon LaFell even in the NFL anymore?
I don't think he's dead.
Right? So yeah, he's done. So it's like, you know, when was the last time that AJ Green has played with this talented of a wide receiver core? It's mostly just trying to find where the targets, how you're going to get targets AJ Green's way. Like guys, I have him with 110 targets this season and he's still in that range of a wide receiver 36 for me, because I'm not going to plummet John Ross. I'm not going to plummet T. Higgins because he's been talked about as a starter in this offense. So it's mostly just a concern of this is a loaded wide receiving core. If one of these guys goes down in the preseason, which John Ross has been known to do, I'm not going to pretend that that's not the case. But like if he goes down, then AJ Green will move up my rankings. But right now it's all about the targets.
Yeah. So AJ Green in the seasons he's played 16 games, 164 targets, 178, 132, 143. So you're expecting like a huge drop off.
To be fair, I actually, in my projections, I put him at 118. So I'm not like,
did you really? Okay.
I'm not crazy off that. And I did lower Green in my rankings after doing projections because you have to build in a lot of these things. But Tyler Boyd is someone that I liked a lot, but it's just, there's only so many targets that we could fit. And I'm not worried about T. Higgins. I think this is like AJ Green's replacement down the road. I think he's their wide receiver 4. I do anticipate John Ross starting as the wide receiver 3 in that offense. Now, can that change? Yeah, but between Ross and Higgins, I'm not going to sit here and say that I anticipate those guys combining for, you know, more than 100 targets. I don't see that happening. So I think the targets are there if Green's healthy, and that's one of those things where it's, do you believe he's healthy? If he stays in the field, he's going to be a top 24 wide receiver.
Well, this was super interesting. Really quick, Bobby mentioned on our podcast that we did with Joe Dolan, where we talked about AJ Green. He mentioned the possibility, like, guys, is Cincinnati potentially moving towards a 10 personnel team? Are they moving towards, like,
I hope so, man. That'd be so fun.
You have Drew Sample and CJ Uzama as your starting tight ends in this offense. Like, guys, gross. You know, like, you needed to upgrade that position at some point throughout this offseason or in the draft, and they didn't. And they instead, at the top of the second round, they drafted T. Higgins, and they've been coming out and saying that he's going to be a starter in this offense. So with that being the case, okay, is T. Higgins on the field more than we anticipate? And that's where I think that I am saying that T. Higgins is going to be more of a factor because he's going to be on the field. So I agree that he's the long-term replacement for AJ Green. Guys, if we get more clarity, I'm more than willing to adjust. If we get more clarity saying that T. Higgins is not going to be a starter in this offense or it's going to play out differently in the preseason, we see something different, I will certainly adjust And AJ Green has the talent to move back up my rankings, of course. I'm not denying that. But right now, it's very difficult to see where those targets come from.
You mentioned Drew Sample, and I'm kind of with you in that, in Uzama. But they drafted him in the second round. They have plans for Drew Sample. Like, and that was with Zach Taylor as the coach of that team. So I do believe they have plans for him. I think that he's going to be a bigger part of the offense this year. But I'm kind of with you. I just don't know if they do the whole 10 personnel thing just because, I don't know. Otherwise, we would have seen more of it last year, I think, because they had Auden Tate and they had John Ross there. So I don't know, man.
That'll be one of the most interesting things that I'll be watch in the preseason as we move forward in training camps. You know, that'll be really interesting to watch to see what they do.
Mm-hmm. Something I wanted to mention is that these are wide receivers last year who were drafted in the first two rounds. Andy Isabella, 9 receptions. Paris Campbell, 18 receptions. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, 10 receptions. Hardman, 26 receptions. Marquise Brown, he actually played pretty well. N'Keal Harry, 12 receptions. There's a lot of guys who were picked in that range who just weren't quite NFL ready. And maybe T. Higgins isn't either. I'm with Tags. I think that he's probably their wide receiver 4 going into the season. All right, let me give you my number 5 here. It is Carson Wentz. And I know the Eagles fans are doing cartwheels and the Cowboys fans are like, what the heck? Are you kidding me? But guys, Carson Wentz, even last year, was pretty dang good. He was one of the top 5 guys in most QB1 performances. He was just really steady, and last year was his floor. You know how I know that? Because he had nobody to pass to. Who was his number 1 wide receiver? Like Greg Ward half the season? He had the best wide receiver core we've ever seen with Carson Wentz in his 4-year career. And this is somebody who was the heavy favorite to run away with the MVP in 2017 as a 25-year-old quarterback before he got hurt. The year after that, he missed 5 games. Last year, he was playing injured for a lot of the season. He had no wide receivers, and he was still pretty good. I think that he's got that, you know, QB2, QB3 upside. Now, he doesn't have the rushing, you know, the rushing ability to be that QB1, but I could definitely see him being someone that you start week in and week out. Last year, he was the QB10, and then you look at their schedule over the first 3 weeks, and it's something you want to start Carson Wentz every single one of those. If you're drafting a quarterback as a streamer, Wentz against Washington, Wentz against the Rams, Wentz against the Bengals, he's a top 10 quarterback each of those weeks. He's someone I wouldn't mind drafting in a single quarterback league.
I'm a fan of Wentz. I have him as a top 10 quarterback this year. Really worried about that. Obviously, he finished, I think, as the QB10 last year. And, you know, with all those weapons going down, and then you get Alshon back, you get DeSean Jackson back. Not only that, but you add Jalen Reagor to the offense. They traded for Marquise Goodwin, which is, I think Goodwin is kind of like insurance for DeSean Jackson as that field stretcher in the offense.
Yep.
So there's a lot of reasons to like this offense. Miles Sanders is not a guy that, you know, I like Miles Sanders as a player, and it seems like he's going to have a bigger role in this offense, but he's not a guy that's going to carry the ball 20, 22 times a game. He's not Ezekiel Elliott. That's not how they're going to treat him. Boston Scott's going to have a role. He's a better pass catcher. Sanders can catch passes. There's really nothing not to like about Wentz. He has an elite offensive line.
Right.
He proved last year that he could play even if he is missing some of those pieces. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Carson Wentz this year as well.
I've got to be honest. After Josh Allen, it's really close for me between Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson for QB7. I've got Watson there right now, but these are really the only guys in the top 8 that I feel confident in. I guess you could put Aaron Rodgers in that conversation. And then after that, it's a total crapshoot at quarterback. Like, do you want to start Drew Brees every week when he might throw 18 passes? Do you want to use a 43-year-old Tom Brady when he starts the season against the Saints? I don't want to draft those guys. Matthew Stafford, again, he had, you know, 6 good games last year. That's not super exciting to me. I'm going to be drafting a lot of Carson Wentz, I think.
Yeah. Wentz is a solid pick. He's like in that territory of rankings where you get to like Matt Ryan and Tom Brady and Stafford and guys like that. And you're like, all right, those guys are safe and they're fine and all, but Wentz has a ceiling that's probably higher than any of them.
Right. And he's, by the way, plus 2,400 to be the NFL MVP. I'm taking that bet.
Yeah.
What do you think, Yates? Anything you want to add?
No, I'm right there with you. I actually have him. I might have him higher than you guys. I have him at QB5 right now.
If he stays healthy, sure.
Yeah, and if his weapons stay healthy, that's the big thing. I think that with him, that's kind of towards his ceiling with DeSean Jackson projected to play 16 games, which I might need to adjust that. I really don't know if DeSean Jackson's going to play 16 games. So, but if he does, man, he's going to do a lot of good things for that offense, and it's going to help out Wentz. So, yeah, I think Wentz is in for a big year.
All right, guys, before we go on to the next player, I want to tell you guys about Perfect Practice. Golf courses around the country are gradually reopening, And while you might head for the driving range to feel some power after sheltering in place, your game on the green might also need some fine-tuning. But you can get started on that from home with a perfect practice putting mat, which simulates an authentic green through its Crystal Velvet True Roll technology. Players can customize difficulty levels using line markers that start at 2 feet away and extend as far back as 8 feet on the original 9-foot, 6-inch version. A recently introduced extra large and compact editions are also available. Work on both your distance and alignment by aiming for a regulation size hole on the left or a reduced size target on the right for an extra accuracy challenge. It also features an automatic ball return with a natural wood finish, and the mat is stylish enough for a living room and ideal for a work area. At number 5 in the official world golf ranking, Dustin Johnson is one of more than 100 PGA and LPGA Tour pros who have made perfect practice part of their training. DJ says he would recommend it to any golfer who's serious about improving their putting and that it's also fun for the family. So guys, if you visit perfectpractice.golf and use FP15, you're going to receive 15% off your entire order. A perfect practice mat is the ideal gift for dads, grads, and anyone looking to sharpen their game. Again, that's perfectpractice.golf and use FP15 to receive 15% off your entire order. All right, who do you have for at number four here, Yates?
Yeah, well, I will talk about the guy that I literally just mentioned, DeSean Jackson. I have DeSean Jackson right now as wide receiver 59 in ECR.
Oh, come on, really?
Hey, guys, it's way too low. We got to move DeSean Jackson up as an industry. I think that for him, especially factoring in that Alshon Jeffrey is likely to start this season on the PUP, DeSean Jackson could be in line for, 8 to 10 targets per game in this, to start the season with Alshon Jeffrey out. And guys, are we going to sit here and say that Alshon Jeffrey is is he going to come back and be the same player that he was before his injury? I don't know. I'm not willing to project that. So DeSean Jackson, if he can stay healthy, and that is a huge, huge if, he hasn't played a full 16 game season since 2013. So again, you have to factor in injury risk. But if we're talking about a bounce back candidate and one that I feel comfortable taking towards the back end of my draft, right? I don't have to use a top. He's wide receiver 59 in ECR. He's around that in range in ADP, maybe even less than that. If I can take him as my wide receiver 5-4 in redraft leagues and I can plug him in, I have a solid, solid starter who possesses immense upside to begin my season.
Yep. He was going to be on my list for sure. No doubt about it.
Yep, DeSean Jackson is definitely a guy that is being undervalued. And I think I actually posted something that he's undervalued in dynasty leagues because he's going in startups outside the top 105 wide receivers or something like that. And I said, the guys you're drafting in that range, you're hoping you get one season out of them somewhere along the lines so you can use DeSean Jackson there for this year. So I'm in line with that. He's only played one game with the team, really one full game with Carson Wentz, and he caught 8 of 9 targets for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, so where do you have him ranked, Tags? I mean, I've got him ahead of all three of the Giants' wide receivers, Shepard, Tate, and Slayton.
Well, it depends. So if the whole thing with Alshon Jeffrey does happen, I'm definitely going to vault him up my rankings, and he's probably going to be right around that Marquise Brown territory. But right now, I have him right around that wide receiver 52 mark, where if you want to take someone like Mecole Hardman over him because you're hoping to hit that league winner, I have no issue with that. Right by guys like John Brown, that's basically where I view DeSean Jackson this year. And he may not be a consistent wide receiver 3, but a guy that you could platoon in a situation where Philadelphia is going to pass the ball a little bit. Absolutely.
Sure. All right, Tags, why don't you give us your number 4, buddy?
All right, my number 4 is David Montgomery of the Bears. And, he's going as the RB25-26. He's one of those running backs that it's relatively easy to project him for 250 carries. So I don't know why people are lowering him down their board. Yes, it was kind of a very vanilla season for him last year. He took over as a starter after the first month, came in, did whatever. He was very boring, but there's only one way to go up in terms of this
offense.
The offensive
line was very boring, man.
They're still going to be very poor, but I'm hoping that Matt Nagy could be a little bit more creative with his playbook this year. But David Montgomery, the one stat I did want to share was that he had 87.5% of the Bears' red zone carries inside the 5-yard line. Legitimately, that's elite territory. Like, the guys that are going in that area are being drafted in the first round. David Montgomery was getting all those carries. They did not add anybody in this offseason, which was kind of surprising. And Tariq Cohen is not a guy that's ever going to take that role. Tariq Cohen is going to max out at 8 carries per game, and that's fine for his role. So David Montgomery, And by the way, in, of those carries that he got inside the 5 yard line, he converted 5 of 14 of those carries for touchdowns. So it's not like he was bad in that area of the field either. So I like David Montgomery as a bounce back. His floor, his fantasy floor is low end RB2, and his ceiling, I would argue it's like a that low end RB1, high end RB2 range.
Yeah, it's, I'm all on board. I mean, he didn't look that bad last year, and this is an offense that's, it's got to improve. There's no doubt about it. It's going to improve. And do you remember when Devonta Freeman had his horrible rookie year? He really did nothing. Everyone was like, man, this kid's a bust. They drafted Tevin Coleman in the third round, brought him in. Everyone was so excited about Tevin Coleman in this offense. He's going to be the starter. And then Devonta Freeman just absolutely exploded. These kind of things can happen in your second year where, you know, everyone thinks that you're a total bust. Remember Todd Gurley. Everyone thought he was a bust. He was playing behind the worst offensive line in football. He looked terrible. He was the single least efficient running back in fantasy football. And then he absolutely exploded. I'm not saying the Bears have an offense like that, but I'm saying that maybe we have a misconception of how good David Montgomery is.
100%. And I think that everything that could have gone against David Montgomery in his rookie season did, where you saw Trubisky could not move the offense, where you had a stellar defense that was consistently going back on the field every four plays because Trubisky just could not move the offense. So then you had the defenses being able to key in on Montgomery.
Stack boxes galore.
Yeah, stack boxes. If they stopped Montgomery, hey, guess what? We get the ball back because Trubisky can't complete a pass. So then it was, okay, well, then you have now defenses focusing in on Montgomery. Oh, and not to mention that the offensive line sucked. So now he's really, and he's still, guys, he put up 889 yards on the ground. Like, that's not a shabby rookie season. And he saw 242 carries. There really is nowhere to go but up for this offense. If Nick Foles is a starter, he's going to be able to move the offense, which means more plays on the field. Tags mentioned it, 250 carries minimum. And there are very few backs that you can look across the NFL and say that they're going to receive guaranteed 250 carries or more. David Montgomery is one of them.
And there's no running backs going anywhere close to him in drafts who are guaranteed for 250 touches. I mean, you look at the Bears depth chart. They've got Tariq Cohen, who, great, okay, he's a pass-catching back. When they were playing in the game scripts last year that they were, Cohen was on the field a lot. It's probably going to be a little bit better this year with the quarterback upgrade to Nick Foles. But who else on their roster could take carries from David Montgomery?
Nobody.
Ryan Nall? Nobody. Artavius Pierce? Get out of here. It's Montgomery's backfield. No doubt about it.
Yep.
All right. My number four is his backfield partner, Tariq Cohen. And I think that both of these guys can have big bounce backs. No, I get it. David Montgomery, it's not exactly a bounce back because he only played 1 year. What's he bouncing back from? His stock is bouncing up. I think that's what Tags is saying. But Tariq Cohen was an RB1 just 2 years ago. Could that happen again, Yates?
You caught me mid-drink. Yeah, it's yeah, I don't know if I want to say RB1. I'm not comfortable projecting that. However, you do have to factor in that Nick Foles is not a mobile quarterback, right? And when there's a direct correlation with mobile quarterbacks, you know, keeping the ball and tucking it and running, which Trubisky did a lot, not last year, obviously. He was, I don't even know what happened there. Injury with his shoulder maybe prevented him. I don't know. But with Nick Foles not being a mobile quarterback, that does lead to more checkdowns with more willingness to dump it off in the flats. And so I think that Tariq Cohen could see an uptick in targets. I don't know if I necessarily want to leap forward and project him for a ton of carries, because that's just not what you want to do for a 5'6", 180-pound running back.
He's not getting 100 carries. I mean, correct. I think everyone would agree on that. But in the last 2 years, he has 150 receptions. Allen Robinson is 153.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's, and last year we saw his efficiency, it was atrocious. Yeah. I mean, a 5.8 yards per reception. Like, guys, that doesn't happen. You know,
especially for someone who can break big plays and get in the end zone.
Exactly. So you're going to see an uptick from Tariq Cohen. What's his ADP or ECR right now?
His ECR and ADP are different. So his ADP, right. I was going to bring that up because I'm actually starting to work on an article that I'm going to be doing for next week. And his ADP right now, Tariq Cohen, RB 46.
Oh my word. No, needs to be
right. I mean,
that.
He's a lock to finish in the top 35. Absolute super lock, man.
I don't see any reason people in it, I I don't know why people are taking James White over Tariq Cohen. James White, obviously moving to a new quarterback and an assistant. We have no idea what to expect from that Patriots offense. He was very reliant on a lot of touchdowns. He got a lot of targets from Brady. Brady was one of the best, you know, quarterbacks in terms of targeting his running backs. We don't know if Stidham's going to be the same. Tariq Cohen, there's only one direction for him to go. And he's already proven that in this exact offense that he can finish as a top 12 running back. Now, again, I'm not expecting that either, but he's someone, if you're taking the late round quarterback or running back approach and you want him as your flex option, your RB3, I'm all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just looking at last year, he was an easy RB3, RB number 27.
Yeah, I mean, he just lacked lacked the big plays. So if you go back to 2018, it was too much. There were too many explosive plays, you know, breaking off 50, 60 yard runs or
receptions. That's who he is, though, man.
Crazy things after the catch that padded stats for both Trubisky and Cohen and got him into that top 10 territory. And then last year, there were none of those plays. It seemed like every single time that Trubisky would roll out, he would be looking to Cohen, who'd catch the ball within 2 yards of the sideline. So essentially, you're cutting off the thing that he does best. And that's what was so frustrating about watching that Bears offense last year, is because they almost cut the field into a quarter and it said, try and make it work, Tariq Cohen. And there was no way for him to do that. I anticipate Nagy getting back to his roots and going back to what he was doing more of in 2018. And there's probably a middle ground there. And I would anticipate that Tariq Cohen is going to finish as a top 30 running back.
All right, Yates, back to you for number three. Who do you have for us?
Yeah, I think this one might upset some people, but it's Eric Ebron. And I think that looking at Eric Ebron, in no way, as I'm talking about him as a bounce back candidate, in no way am I talking about him reaching what he did with Andrew Luck in, you know, 2018, 2017. Like,
yeah, we all knew that was unsustainable. Like, everyone was saying, don't draft Eric Ebron. He's not getting 14 touchdowns again.
right. But now you're talking about him landing in Pittsburgh, where, you know, this is a guy where he had a lot of hype surrounding him, but the offense took a major step back last year with Jacoby Brissett and the majority of the receiving weapons going down with injury. He dealt with injury last year too. So he's landed in Pittsburgh now, and he should be a red zone weapon immediately. I think that I'm not necessarily with Vance McDonald there too. I'm not necessarily projecting him to, you know, be towards the top of this team in terms of target share, but yet he's going to be a factor in the red zone. And we saw him be so, so good with Andrew Luck in the red zone just a couple years ago. I think Big Ben's going to lock onto him in the red zone, and he's going to be a factor. So if you're wanting to play this like late tight end game, you know, right now his ECR is 19. I have him at 15. So I'm not necessarily saying that he is going to take a huge step forward, but if you're rolling a dice with some of these guys at the back end of, you know, the back end of the tight end group, I think Eric Ebron's a solid shot there.
He's got a lot of upside. And I know you're not going to have any shares because you're getting Jonnu Smith or Hayden Hurst.
Correct.
I agree. I think Ebron does have a lot of upside. Maybe not quite as much as those. I don't know. Maybe as much as those guys. Tex, what do you think?
I don't like Ebron. This is the one that I disagreed with, just because you look at the team and you say, all right, you know, we know Juju's going to be out there. We know that Deontay Johnson's going to be out there. We know that Chase Claypool is somebody they drafted in the second round, so they were particularly high on. They're going to try and get him on the field, but he's going to battle with James Washington, who they drafted in the second round just a couple years ago. And then you say, well, they also extended Vance McDonald's contract, so it's like, why'd they do that? And then they go and sign Ebron. And I think it was more because he was cheap and Vance McDonald has really sucked. But Vance McDonald is a better blocker than Eric Ebron. So if they're running a lot of three wide receiver sets, which they do in Pittsburgh, they do that quite a bit, that's going to leave room for, it's an 11 personnel. So you're going to have one tight end on the field. I think he's going to alternate. And it's going to be more about those playing. He might play less than half the snaps. And that's what concerns me about Eric Ebron, not necessarily the quarterback play or anything like that. He's going to be a streamer for me, a guy that I'm looking for a touchdown. If I think that Roethlisberger is going to throw three touchdowns in a week and they're going to fall behind, I might go to someone like Ebron over another streamer. But for me, I don't think he's consistent enough to the point where I'd even consider drafting him. I just don't think he bounces back, because I think Eric Ebron is who he is. He's a guy that you want to use in certain packages, and you get him on the field maybe 40% of the time. He's going to drop a few passes here and there because that's what he does. But now on his third team in 4 years, I think people are starting to realize that he's just not a full-time tight end.
Sure. So who do you have at number three?
My number three is Adam Thielen. Thielen is a guy
good
that,
one, man.
Well, I'm a little concerned because obviously he's coming off the back injury, but regardless, you know, when he's on the field, he's going to get targeted. I went and looked. Adam Thielen played 23 games with Cousins before he tried coming back from that injury, and it just didn't work out. But 23 games with Cousins, 195 targets. I mean, that's ridiculous. 140 receptions, 1,764 yards, 15 touchdowns. 15 touchdowns in 23 games. And now Stephon Diggs is gone. Granted, Justin Jefferson, young talent coming in, but he's still a rookie. We have to remember that. This is an offense that they didn't throw the ball a lot last year at all. Like, if you look at 2018, then go 2019, they dropped off like over 150 pass attempts, I think it was. There's going to be a middle ground there because the Vikings defense has taken a step back this offseason. Well, they started to last season. The run game is not going to be as efficient as it was last year because it was just overly efficient. So you're going to project some more pass attempts. And Adam Thielen is the go-to guy. I think we always knew that Thielen was Cousins' guy. And that's why, you know, Stephon Diggs, even when Thielen was out of the lineup, wasn't getting tremendous target share. So Adam Thielen is a guy that I have him ranked, I think, as my wide receiver 15, wide receiver 16 right there. And if he plays all 16, that back turns out to be okay. He probably should finish top 12.
I've got him wide receiver 10, man. Yates, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that Adam Thielen is in line for a bounce back season. And, you know, I wonder, as Tags was talking, I was thinking about it. I was like, I wonder if he had just gone on IR, if we wouldn't have had this bad taste in our mouth with Adam Thielen.
Right.
Because it really was last year, like, you weren't able to confidently roll out Thielen in your lineups because you were just like, I don't know what his health is. I don't know if he's going to get, if he's out there as a decoy. You know, I wonder if he had just gone on IR, if we would be comfortable projecting him, you know, where I think he needs to be, where Tags mentioned. So, yeah, I think that he's in line for a bounce back, and he's someone who I think you should be looking at in your drafts.
And don't forget, in the playoffs last year, he was awesome. 179 yards in two games. You know, he didn't do anything from week 7 on, but before then, he was the same player he always was. He was on pace for another 980-yard, 13-touchdown season. He was the wide receiver 7, the wide receiver 11, and the two previous years that he played the full season. Just who Adam Thielen is. And now Stephon Diggs is gone. All right, guys, we're going to keep rolling in a second, but first I want to tell you about Omaha Steaks. Oh, man, every time I talk about Omaha Steaks on this podcast, I just get so hungry and my mouth is watering. They sent me these steaks right to my door, and I am not exaggerating. I cut my steak with a fork. It was delicious. And right now, Omaha Steaks has a limited-time Father's Day offer with our listeners when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code FANTASYPROS, all one word, into the search bar. Make sure you enter it into that search bar. It's not like a promo code. You have to look for Fantasy Pros in the search bar. Save 55% on the gift Dad will love. And for $79.99, your gift is going to include 4 naturally lean top sirloin steaks, hand-carved and aged at least 21 days for tenderness and flavor. 4 premium boneless chicken breasts, 4 gourmet jumbo franks and kielbasa sausages, a package of savory all-beef meatballs, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, which are delicious, by the way. It's all delicious. And an Omaha Steak signature seasoning packet. Dad is going to get all this delicious food, plus the free pound of steak-cut bacon. This amazing gift is ready to be shipped straight to Dad's door in time for Father's Day for $79.99. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com and type Fantasy Pros in the search bar to order the Summer Sizzle Pack for Father's Day today. And please keep in mind that this deal ends on June 15th, so be sure to place your order now. Again, that's omahasteaks.com and enter the code FANTASYPROS, all one word, into the search bar. Save 55% on the gift Dad will love. Order the Summer Sizzle Pack for Father's Day today. All right, my next guy is someone who can lead the league in touches. And last year, there was some weird stuff going on with him. He was like bowling during the season. There were reports of him getting up to like 700 pounds. But Le'Veon Bell's still just 28 years old, and he's the undisputed lead back for the New York Football Jets. I feel really disgusting saying this because it's an Adam Gase offense, but like, have we not forgot how important volume is? I mean, if he goes out there and he gets 350 touches, he's an RB1. It doesn't matter what offense he's in.
But he's not going to, because Adam Gase is going to Gase.
Because you have Frank Gore and LaMichael Perine brought in,
too. That's the thing.
You're worried about them?
No, listen. I actually thought that Le'Veon Bell was going to turn out to be a value for me and that I was going to have a lot of him because volume does matter, right? And you're looking for an RB2. He's fantastic, right? Like, even if he does exactly what he did last year, he'll give you RB2 performances, you know, 80% of the time. And that's fine. The issue when they signed Frank Gore, I'm like, I'm done, because we've heard we've heard rumblings all off season about how the Jets were talking about like moving on from Le'Veon Bell, and that him and Adam Gase don't get along. Nothing surprises me about that. And Adam Gase is the type of coach who has held grudges against players in the past. Kenyon Drake, to be notably, you know, he held back Kenyon Drake to split carries with Damian Williams, who was not nearly as efficient in that offense as he went to be with the Chiefs. But no, Adam Gase, I do not trust him. His rushing offense is always one of the worst in the NFL. They run like 58, 59 plays per game. The Jets have a tough schedule. There's just so much that I absolutely hate about the Jets because of Adam Gase. And the signing of Frank Gore was the last straw, because you do not sign someone like Frank Gore and not put him on the field. He would not have agreed to sign with the team if he was going to be on the bench getting two or three carries a game. He's a guy that's going to get, I'm going to say, 7 to 10 carries per game, and that's enough for me to say I'm gonna back off Le'Veon Bell a little bit. Gore may not last the full season, but LaMichael Pirine, there's just no, I'm done. I can't do it.
He's going as the RB24, man. Like that's
where
there's no chance that he doesn't finish in the top 24.
It's about like potential reward. And I agree that his floor is gonna be better than that. Like his floor is RB2 territory. I agree with that. But his ceiling is not RB1. He will not, I promise you, he will not finish in the top 12 running backs because, well, Gase.
If he gets 350 touches, he's an RB1, period.
I don't think he's getting 350 touches.
But that's the thing, is that there is a very, very difficult path for him to get 350 touches in this offense.
I have number 267.
I'm around there.
He was at 311 last year playing through an injury and missed a game.
Well, there's Frank Gore on the team now, and he also still has Adam Gase. There was nobody behind him last year.
There was no one behind him. Trenton Cannon, Elijah McGuire.
Ty Montgomery, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. There's your gross. Okay. So that puts a bow on this
Blow
conversation.
Pal.
No, I think with looking at, Tags mentioned it, like the Jets' schedule is really rough, guys. Like I am not projecting this team to finish with a very favorable record. And I think that if Le'Veon Bell was on a different team, that, you know, maybe this team was really good and they would be playing with leads, you know, consistently where they need to run out the clock, then I would potentially be on board. But where you're going to be playing from behind consistently, and now you're talking about adding in these other guys for a lot of the reasons Tags mentioned, I'm out. That was Shark Tank for you. I'm out.
I'm going to be drafting a lot of the boring veteran running backs, Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell. At their price points, they're going to get you they're going to outperform their draft value.
I mean, you know, are they going to help you win a fantasy championship? I don't think so.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
Because they're going to get me into the playoffs, man. And then I'm going to have Justin Jackson when Austin Eckler gets hurt, and Jackson's going to rush for 200 yards.
Don't worry. By the time we get to August, Bobby will chill out. He'll understand what we're talking about.
No, totally... get out of here, dude.
You're going to move off Le'Veon
Bell. You're just sour that the fans voted for me over you on the Ryan Tannehill Burrow thing.
You're going to be really mad when Jonathan Taylor is better than Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is going to be better than Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying that he's not, dude. I'm drafting him like six spots ahead of Le'Veon Bell in running backs alone.
Wait, where do you have Bell ranked then?
I've got Bell ranked 20, RB 22.
I mean, I'm actually higher than you are.
Dude, he's going as an RB 3.
Well, I mean, he's RB 24, I thought you said. Yeah, he's going as the low end RB 2. He's going around where he should be. Like, I have no issue with that price for what it's worth. I thought you...
Wait, that's standard. I have him 22. I've actually got him 20 in half PPR.
I thought you were saying you had him at like 14 or something. I was
no,
like,
no, man, no.
Okay, that's fine. That's
yeah.
Fine.
It's over to Yates for number two.
All right, you guys good? You guys okay? Did you make up?
No,
okay.
No. I'm going to hold a grudge for a long time on this one.
All right, I'm going to go with Jordan Howard, guys. Jordan Howard here is ECR 34. I have him as RB 26, so I'm projecting a little bit of a bounce back. I know Bobby is on the side that thinks that Matt Breida is going to be more of a factor for
this
team.
He's the man,
than
dude,
Jordan Howard
sucks.
Nope. I am in complete disagreement there. He dealt with injuries last season, and so we didn't get to see him. He was splitting time with Miles Sanders. Again, we've talked about Doug Peterson and what he does for running backs, where he just is intent on, you know, relying on multiple backs, which is great. Great for an NFL offense. Like, you need to be sharing the load. Terrible for fantasy. We want these guys to be receiving, you know, these high touch totals. But dealt with injuries last season, was splitting time with Miles Sanders. We didn't get to see him fully, fully healthy and what he could do. Prior to last season, he never saw less than 250 carries. And I'm not projecting that necessarily here in Miami. I have him around like 220 attempts, I think. But if that is the case, then it's the same kind of argument with David Montgomery, where you're talking about a player who, if he is receiving a majority of the workload there, then he's a value. He's going to be a safe floor player. And I think that this Miami Dolphins offense took a major step forward with their investment in the offensive line. You're adding in guys like Austin Jackson. They're going to play Robert Hunt at right tackle. Solomon Kinley. Bobby, I know he's your guy.
Yeah, he
Ted
is,
Karras,
baby.
Ted Karras at center. You know, you added some maulers on this offensive line, and they are going to create running lanes for Jordan Howard, who I think has one of the most underrated like vision abilities for a running back in the NFL. I think he's an incredibly smart and intelligent runner. So he's going to be able to pick up high yardage. He's going to be incredibly efficient. It's just going to come down to how effective and efficient do you think this offense is as far as him scoring touchdowns. I'm not projecting a high touchdown total, but him at ECR 34, I'm sure his ADP is right around there. He's someone who I'm going to be having a lot of shares of.
Tags?
He's meh to me. He's a Le'Veon Bell that doesn't catch passes in terms of like what type of offense he's in. I'm not excited about the Dolphins offense. Are they going to get better? Sure. I wouldn't go as far as Yates did saying that they added maulers in the run game. I think they
they did, man. I love their offensive line. Well, not it's so much better than it was last year.
I mean, Austin Jackson, I think is overrated. Hunt, fine, whatever. Kinley, he's fine, but they're still, those are rookies that are going to take some time to develop a little bit. I just don't think that they're going to walk into the NFL and straight up dominate. Ereck Flowers has been very inconsistent throughout his career. But again, I do think that Yates there's something to be said about Jordan Howard having solid vision. And I think he does. And that's why the reason he succeeded in the NFL to this point, he played with the Bears offensive line that was really, really good when he was there. And then he went to the Eagles, who, again, that's a top three offensive line in football. So he's consistently played behind these top tier offensive lines. My question is, does this defense take a step forward? Because if the Dolphins defense plays well, Jordan Howard is absolutely going to crush his ADP. If they're a similar team to what they were last year with maybe just a slight improvement, I think you're going to see a timeshare with him and Matt Breida, because Breida is the guy that's better on third down. He has been more efficient. But again, Breida is coming from a team that the 49ers, that team has a top five offensive line in football. So I think both of them are going to have like shell shock once they go to the Dolphins team, because they're going to be like, what am I running behind? But I don't have an issue with this one. I think he's fine for a bounce back, especially with the way his season ended. You know, with him he didn't go on IR, but he was essentially on IR.
I just love Matt Breida, man. That's why I want to fight this. But here I am. I'm looking at Jordan Howard, okay? And I found this while you guys were talking. So in the last decade, here is the list of the players with as many touchdowns and rushing yards in their first 4 years as Jordan Howard. Ezekiel Elliott, Arian Foster, Todd Gurley. End list.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks that he doesn't catch passes. He does have bricks for hands. They're not good.
Yep.
No, he's not a flashy running back, and I think that's why a lot of people don't like him, but he's a very downhill guy, and he's going to get what's blocked. So if that offensive line does play better, yeah, he's going to, like, again, he'll crush ADP if that offensive line plays up to what Yates thinks and that their defense. He needs the defense to take a step forward, because that team was consistently playing from behind last year.
Well, I mean, it can't be much worse than it was last year, and you added in some very, very talented players on the edges to the linebacker, or they have solid linebackers there with
They added Jerome so Baker many players this offseason.
And Byron Jones, you know, at corner. They added some solid pieces. So I think it will take a step forward. It's just going to be a matter of... I think this is important to keep in mind, too. Jordan Howard was the one that signed there first. They traded for Matt Breida during the draft. And I think that Breida is more of that change of pace, keep him at a low carry total,
yeah,
a high efficiency runner. He can be that factor on third down and be that change of pace back and that, you know, the receiving back out of the backfield, which is why I think that they looked at Jordan Howard, said, okay, we'll bring in Howard because he can be that guy. And again, Brian Flores, like, he's a defensive-minded coach. He's going to want to run the ball. And I think that then Breida will be that guy who alternates in and takes over for Howard's deficiencies in the passing game.
All right, Tags, who do you have at number two, man?
Number two is a guy that's seemingly been forgotten about, and I don't know why. It's Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks going to Houston on a team that just lost DeAndre Hopkins and 150 targets a year, essentially. Will Fuller can never stay healthy. I think we've all learned that by now. Kenny Stills, terrible when he's not in the slot, and they signed Randall Cobb to play that role. Randall Cobb is whatever. I'm not going to get into this receiver core. It's terrible. Kiki QT should be on that field, but he's not going to be. But either way, Brandon Cooks is going to... He's a guy that has shown time and time and again that he can go from one quarterback to the next and finish as a top 24 receiver. In fact, before 2019, Brandon Cooks' fantasy finishes were wide receiver 13, wide receiver 12, wide receiver 9, and wide receiver 14 with three different quarterbacks, okay? The only other players that have four top 24 finishes over the last 5 years, listen to this list of names, guys. Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, and Amari Cooper.
And he wasn't even close to, like, he. You said 13 was his lowest?
Well, 14 was his lowest. So he that's what I'm saying. But those were the only guys that had four top 24 finishes. That crowd, everybody on that list that's actually still playing football, Antonio Brown is obviously not, but a lot of those guys going as top 12 wide receivers, Jarvis Landry's not, who's always undervalued, but everybody kind of knows why. He's just a very, he's a guy that fills a role on your fantasy team. He's better than people think he is. But Brandon Cooks has continually been there, and I know the concussions are an issue, and yes, that should drop his draft stock a little bit, but at the same time, this is a team that's going to have to throw the ball a ton. That Houston team is terrible.
Concussions are an issue, but he's only missed two games in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and like, look at Deshaun Watson. Since he's come into the league, like, he doesn't target his running backs nearly as much as some other quarterbacks do. He'd prefer to scramble and find someone down the field. And Brandon Cooks, he can do both. He can stretch the field. He can play, I don't want to say a possession role because you don't want him doing that, but he can. He's a phenomenal route runner. He's pretty smart in finding holes in zones. So I think him and Deshaun Watson are going to get along quite well. So he's a guy that should bounce back.
We're talking about a 27-year-old wide receiver who averages 1,000 yards a year.
Yep.
It's pretty dang good.
Yep.
Yates, what do you think about Brandon Cooks? I was talking about how I'm on Will Fuller, but, you know, I'm worried about Cooks' concussions, but he's only missed those two games.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And that you mentioned there, Bobby, that he's only missed two games. I thought it was more than that.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that.
Yeah, that's really shocking to me. I have him statted out as wide receiver 35 right now. I can definitely see the case to bring him more than that. By the time that the season rolls around, this is just a wide receiving core that's super weird to try to project right now. So I definitely get Tags' argument here. He's someone who I think that is going to be a value, but those concussion issues, I think it's enough for me to at least put a little star next to his name, you know, when I'm doing a draft to be like, this is a concern. If he falls, you know, another round in ADP or something like that, then that'll be somewhere where I bring him in. But for right now, he's kind of one of those players that I'm like, I think he could have a good year, but everything has to go his way.
Sure. I think that's totally fair. My number two guys, I already mentioned him earlier. It's Aaron Rodgers. And I get it. He's left a sour taste in your mouth the past couple years. Let's see where he finished. QB 6, QB 9. We were drafting him as the QB 2 or QB 3 in both of those years. But here's what it comes down to. You look at his yards per attempt. He's actually was better last year than he was over the previous 3 years combined. You look at his interception rate, and it's half of what his career interception rate was. He was really dang good. The only difference was his touchdown rate was extremely low both of the last 2 years. If that bounces back up to his career average, all right, we're looking at another 8-9 touchdowns here. Guys, that's a ton of fantasy points. He would have finished in the top five quarterbacks, which he's done every single year he stayed healthy until, you know, those touchdown rates drop. Number two, number one, number two, number one, number two, number one, number seven, number one. He's a stud.
He's so good.
He's been a stud, and it's unfortunate that he plays for Matt LaFleur because he's a guy that could have really shined. Like, you see Drew Brees, right, with a guy like Sean Payton. You see Patrick Mahomes with someone like Andy Reid. It's just you wonder what could have been with Aaron Rodgers had he gotten one of those sharp offensive minds. And Matt LaFleur is not it. My biggest concern is LaFleur. And you kind of saw it last year where Rodgers was essentially boom or bust. It was a guy that he was either finishing as a top six fantasy quarterback or he was outside the top 20. It was like legit bad. And it's frustrating because I know the guy is super talented. And I think people forget just how good he actually is at football. They didn't really add anybody that would make me change my mind in terms of like, oh, they're definitely going to throw the ball a whole lot more. Instead, they've added guys that they're probably going to run the ball a lot more. Rodgers, you know, it's pretty pathetic in terms of how they've treated him in that franchise. But again, I think he's being undervalued. I don't even know if I'd consider it a bounce back year because he had a good year in terms of what he did. He's not playing like an all-time great. Like, he's just not taking any chances. And, you know, maybe that changes this year. I don't know. But
I guess my point is, okay, yeah, he didn't play great last year. And you're saying, well, he might not play great because he has LaFleur again. But are you saying that his touchdown rate is still going to be the same as Mason Rudolph, Gardner Minshew, Case Keenum?
No, I'm not saying that.
I mean, his touchdown rate's going up. And how high is it going to go up to his career mark 6.0, which would have been top five in the league last year?
Well, right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if he goes to that, it's still limited number of pass attempts where he's still, I don't know if his ceiling is any higher than like QB5.
Yeah, it all comes down to me for expectation management. Like you mentioned it, Bobby, that we've been looking at Aaron Rodgers as this top locked in, you know, top two quarterback for however many years. And he consistently fell short of that. When you're drafting someone as a QB2, you need them to finish there, right? And he didn't. And so, you know, the expectation going into this year, I think people are a little bit off of Aaron Rodgers. And if that's the case, then he could be a value again. I'm kind of siding here with Tags, though, where I'm very concerned about Matt LaFleur and the direction that he wants to take this team, where I think that he wants to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, and that scares the crap out of me.
It's stupid.
Man, it's so dumb. Drafting two fullbacks in the second and third round, a backup quarterback in the first. I can't get over that.
Yeah,
that is the single dumbest thing I've ever seen in sports.
Yep.
And I'm not exaggerating.
It's not great.
All right, back to you, Yates. Give us your number one, man.
Yeah, I saved the best here for last, guys. It's Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara finished as the RB12 in 2019. So listen to this. So 2017, he was the RB3. 2018, the RB4. And then 2019, as I mentioned, the RB12. He saw his total touchdowns go from 13 in 2017 and 18. 18 total touchdown, guys, in 2018 to 5 in 2019.
Right.
Guys, positive regression is coming back for Alvin Kamara with Drew Brees back behind center. And then he also dealt with some knee and ankle injuries last season. He wasn't fully healthy. With all that, he still finished as the RB12 in 2019. I think he is a lock for a top five finish in 2020.
Well, Drew Brees was out too, and Drew Brees is never out. And you look at what their running backs have done in the last decade with Drew Brees, and they've been top two as a team for running back fantasy points every single year until last year.
Yeah, no, there's definitely positive regression coming here. And Kamara was a guy in my projections. He actually came in with 0.06 more fantasy points than Saquon Barkley.
Oh, wow.
Same for me, man. When I was putting it together, I was like, hold on a second. Yep. It's telling me Alvin Kamara is my number two running back.
Yep, that's exactly how it popped up for me. And I mean, I've been saying all along that I would have taken Alvin Kamara over Michael Thomas just because of the position. And I mean, would I take him over Zeke? I don't know if I would go that far. Would I take him over Barkley? Maybe. I mean, Barkley is a pretty bad schedule again this year. And granted, that offensive line, and he's a generational talent. So if you want to take Barkley number two, I'm not gonna yell at you. But it's more like, where do you fall? If you get the number two overall pick, you have to make that choice between Barkley, Elliott, and Kamara. But for me, if you want to take Kamara number two, I have no issue with it.
How high do you have Kamara, Yates?
I have him right in line with ECR. I have him at 5.
You have him at 5. Okay, so who's ahead of him besides Barkley and Elliott?
Dalvin Cook, but it's literally like I have Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara with the same fantasy points. They're just split by like decimals.
Yeah, there's a clear teardrop there after Cook.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So where are you taking Michael Thomas? Are you taking him ahead of any of those five running backs?
Oh, that's a good question. I would take him. I would personally take Michael Thomas ahead. But that's a tough call. Like, I do love to load up on running backs early in drafts. And then, like we mentioned it on previous podcasts, there are a ton of guys that I feel are in this wide receiver 3 range that I can load up on. So I'm comfortable letting Michael Thomas go to someone else. But then at the same time, I'm not going to be upset if someone takes Michael Thomas.
Well, the reason I would feel okay with it is just because, like, think about the running back situation. If you don't take a running back there and then you're waiting until, like, so if you take him at 104, whatever we'll call it, if you wait, like, by the time it comes back to you in the second round, you might be looking at someone as like Josh Jacobs as your RB1, and I don't think that I want to do that.
Yeah, it would be fine, but you're way behind if you're missing out on one of those top five running backs. I love Michael Thomas, but I feel like I can't take him over Kamara, Barkley, Elliott. So I initially had him at 2. I think I've moved him down to number 5 on my draft board. I would take him over Dalvin Cook, though. I'm a little bit worried about Cook's shoulder and knee. All right, you know what, Tags? We've been going in the same order where it's Yates and then you and then me. I want you to finish off the show because we've already talked about my guy so many times. It's Odell Beckham. He's bouncing back, guys, like it or not. Dan Harris and I had a huge fight in an article. Those articles are a lot of fun that we're doing, where basically what we do is our creative content director finds guys that we big time disagree on. And then we just have it out in an absolute war in an article. And he had some really good points. But, you know, I think if you've been listening to the podcast, you know why I love Odell Beckham, why Tags loves Odell Beckham. He's historically off to one of the best starts in wide receiver NFL history. You know, last year, Baker Mayfield was bad behind the offensive line. The offensive line is much improved now. Beckham was playing through injuries. He's just been stupid efficient, and I think he's going to be returning to that this year.
Yeah, Beckham, I mean, I am worried about that offense going a bit run heavy under Kevin Stefanski, and I don't know how much that is. And you do have to factor in targets for Jarvis Landry, but we don't know what's going on with his hip. Beckham should be healthy going into the season. I know he had dealt with injuries last year too, had some stuff taken care of this offseason, but I'm with you on him. I don't bet against elite talent, and Odell Beckham is an elite talent.
Well, let's just name the wide receivers who can be wide receiver one, right? Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Odell Beckham, Davante Adams, anyone else?
I would put Adams there.
Yeah, Davante Adams can, for sure.
Maybe Chris Godwin, but I don't think so. I think those are the only ones.
I don't think so
either.
Kenny
Galladay, if he gets a crap ton of targets, finally.
I still don't think he has wide receiver one potential.
Calvin Ridley, if Julio gets hurt, right, Yates?
If Julio gets
that's
hurt.
That's the only way it would happen,
that's
obviously.
That's the only
but
way.
He could be the wide receiver one in the NFL, if not for Julio. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't know about you guys, but right now I'm diving so far into like my, you know, my projection template and my spreadsheets and all that. So I haven't watched a ton of film recently outside of my 2021 classwork. And I put on some Odell Beckham film the other day. It popped up. And I was just like, oh my word, this guy is so good.
You're right.
Like, I just forgot how good he is. And I think that, yeah, you're definitely right, Bobby, that he does have the upside and potential. With what Tags mentioned, though, this offense is going to be very run heavy. So in order for him to be the wide receiver one, he has to be historically efficient in this offense. Like Baker has to be historically efficient to get him touchdown totals. So that's my only concern. But as far as a bounce back, a lot of people are off OBJ. I don't think you should be one of them.
All right. You get to finish us off, Tags. What are you doing, man?
Number one on my list is a guy that was going as the number one overall receiver, actually, in some drafts last year. He was top three, top five in everyone's list. And all of a sudden, his ADP is down at wide receiver 17. I'm talking about Juju Smith-Schuster.
Right.
You know, with two games with Roethlisberger last year, I think he wound up with, it was either 16 or 18 targets. But Roethlisberger leaving the offense changed everything. You know, we had enough concerns about Juju Smith-Schuster moving to the perimeter with Antonio Brown gone. Those were real concerns and concerns that I had. And that's the reason I think I had Smith-Schuster as my wide receiver five. But you weren't knocking him down further than that because you knew the targets would be there. Now the Steelers have talked about, we're putting Juju back in the slot. Deontay Johnson is going to be on the perimeter, and they're going to have one of either James Washington or Chase Claypool on the other side of the field. That means Juju's back in the slot. He's facing, you know, third-tier cornerbacks, guys that only come on the field in three wide receiver packages, because a lot of top-tier cornerbacks, the shadow guys, do not go into the slot. So Juju's going to have some like high-efficiency targets. He gets Ben Roethlisberger back, which obviously is the key to success because, well, Mason Rudolph, bad at football. Devlin Hodges, bad at football. There's a lot of reasons I like Juju. Deontay Johnson can take a step forward, absolutely. I actually pegged him down for 105 targets, but I still have Juju as a guy that's going to be up around that 135, 140 target mark. And it's just rare to find those guys in football. I have him as a top eight fantasy wide receiver this year.
Oh,
I don't know why
we
should move him down very much, but wide receiver 17, you're just asking yourself for problems. He's going the fourth round on average and sometimes into the fifth round. This is just, if you get him as your wide receiver two, game over.
Yates, it's really interesting, right? He's one of these guys that we always talk about because his ECR, that's expert consensus rankings, wide receiver number 11. His ADP, wide receiver number 17. So the analysts in the industry all agree that he's a much better value than where he's being drafted. Do you agree, Yates?
Right now, I am more on the side of ADP. He burned a lot of people last year. Like big time burned. And I don't think that it was necessarily all him, right? You know, when you have Big Ben go down and you're going to now Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges, like, yeah, good luck to anyone. It's more so for me a concern of looking at projecting the overall passing volume of this offense, where the year that we saw Juju break out, which was his rookie year, if I'm remembering correctly, they threw the ball 689 times.
The year two, yeah, he had, well, his first year, he was crazy efficient. He didn't have like the crazy high target share, but year two was the year I think he had like 166 targets. It was ridiculous.
Okay, yeah. Then that's the one I'm thinking of. Thanks, Tags. So yeah, then that year you had, you know, that crazy high passing number for the entire team. You had Antonio Brown taking away a lot of coverage. I agree that him going back to the slot is the right place for him. So it does look like a lot is moving in his direction. I think he's going to be efficient this year. It's just now the concerns of Deontay Johnson. I love Deontay Johnson, and I'm a big fan of his. And so he's going to take a significant target share, but then it's also looking at just the overall passing volume of this offense. But I do agree that I do need to move Juju up. I'm starting to, Tags is starting to convince me here.
I've got him at wide receiver 13, so I'm a little bit closer to ECR, but I'm not, I can't quite put him over Allen Robinson, Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay. Tags, who do you have him over of that group?
Yeah, I have him over Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is going to get volume, but again, you're talking about the difference in quarterback play. The target, I think you can make the case that the targets are going to be similar, but Smith-Schuster, again, playing in the slot, not going to see those top-tier cornerbacks. I have Smith-Schuster over Galladay. I do have him over Beckham, just because I am worried about the overall volume of that offense, where Beckham might be capped out at about 125 targets. Allen Robinson, I have him over Amari Cooper as well. I mean, Amari is a guy that I've talked about continually and that I'm a fan of, that I love his talent. But I'm not going to like overlook the fact that he's been inconsistent in fantasy, and that you add CeeDee Lamb to that offense, and it's like all of a sudden there's going to be even more consistency. Michael Gallup continues to grow into a phenomenal player. He's going to stretch the field for them. CeeDee Lamb is going to come in and make an impact on day one. You know, Amari, I love the player. I really do. I think that he's a top five route runner in the league. You could argue that he's the best route runner in the league. But if he's not getting the elite target share, he doesn't belong in that conversation. So if I get Smith-Schuster getting those 135, 140 targets in the slot away from those top-tier cornerbacks from Ben Roethlisberger, I just don't know why people, they want those other guys over him.
Did you know that Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper were tied in fantasy points per game last year?
I believe it. Gallup was a little bit like deep ball reliant, like his in terms of his yards per catch. That's not going to be the high
and
ever
Cooper
again.
Cooper was playing through the foot injury, but I'm just saying, like, maybe Gallup's not going to go away so easily.
I don't think he's going to. I did my projections, and he actually moved up quite a bit. I think I slotted him as wide receiver 32, and Amari came in as a wide receiver 11. So, I mean, there is a gap there for me for sure, but because I think Lamb cuts into Gallup more than he does Cooper, because Cooper already wasn't getting an elite target share. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep, you're right. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. This was a lot of fun, guys.
It was.
It was.
Yep. All right. And we ran a lot longer than I thought we were going to run. Holy cow, man. I love talking about football on a Monday after a whole weekend. It's like, dude, I can't wait to get back to work. It's so much fun.
Yes. And I can't wait till we actually, you know, get to the point. They're starting to release some details about the football season and what, you know, clubs are able to do. But, you know, once we get the specifics on everything and we're locked in, ready to go, that's when things get like, I'm ramped up.
All right, guys, and don't forget to check us out on YouTube. You can see my face when I just dorked up there just a minute ago, youtube.com/fantasypros. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Let our bosses know that you like the content that we're putting out. It really helps us out, and we appreciate it. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. All right, and I also want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Omaha Steaks. Guys, Father's Day is coming up. Get free steak cut bacon, save 55% on the gift dad will love. Order the summer sizzle pack for Father's Day by going to omahasteaks.com and typing fantasy pros in the search bar. And also Perfect Practice. Don't forget to go to www.perfectpractice.golf and use FP15 to receive 15% off your entire order. A Perfect Practice mat is the ideal gift for dads, grads, and anyone looking to sharpen their game. For Kyle Yates and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge.
or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.